speaking on this program is Brother Kevin T.
Today, we will be looking at a lesson that I've entitled, The Long Suffering of God. Isn't it a blessing to be a Christian and to know about our God and all the blessings that God bestows upon us, simply because we've been created after Him, but especially whenever we put Christ on in baptism. Whenever we put Christ on in baptism, God forgives us of our sin, and He adds us into His church, the glorious body that Jesus Christ died for, that was established after Jesus was resurrected from the grave. And being a part of the church is such a wonderful, a beautiful blessing. Why is that? Because we have brothers and sisters in Christ who love us, that we can love and also that we can be loved by, and that we can be involved in various things throughout life with one another. The times that we are blessed to be able to be at worship and to be with those of like precious faith, to worship our God and our Creator according to the standards that He has. What a blessing that is. But then also to engage in opportunities of fellowship like we will do tonight, Lord willing, over in the annex. Not only all the great food, but to be able to sit across the table from one another and to converse. I can only imagine what heaven is going to be like. Here in this world, what a blessing it is to be with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And in heaven, we will not only be with one another. Friends, we will be with our God who loves us. You know, the Bible teaches us very clearly that Jesus Christ is coming again. Our Lord's return is indeed certain. Why? Because God promises us that not only did Jesus come to this world, and not only did Jesus die and ascended back into heaven, but the Bible tells us time and time again that Jesus Christ is coming again. And because God is responsible for giving us the inspired Word, and God does not lie, you and I can take it to the bank if you would, knowing with full assurance that someday our Lord will again appear in the sky. When will Jesus come? We do not know for certain. We just know that He's coming. And it's interesting, though, that in the religious world, many try to place a date on the coming of Christ. And many say that all the turmoil that's taking place in the world today are signs that Jesus Christ is coming again and that we're living in the last days. And we are living in the last days in this sense that from the time in which Christ died on the cross, we've been in the last days not knowing when He's going to come. And we're in the final age, and that is the Christian age. And therefore, God does not want us to look to a specific time of Christ coming, but rather to understand that without any question about it, He is coming again. And He will come as a thief in the night. He will come unannounced, but yet at the same time when He does come, everyone will know. He will be in the sky and He will gather us all up to meet Him in the air. And whenever He comes, it will be not only visual, but it will also be audible. We will understand. And I myself am a deep sleeper, especially whenever I'm worn out. But I will rest assured that whenever Christ comes, I'm not going to sleep through that. We will know that Christ is here. What will take place whenever the Lord returns? It will initiate the divine judgment of every single soul. In fact, the Hebrews writer reminds us of this in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27 says that it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this is the judgment. In Romans chapter 14, verses 11 and verse 12, Paul, in writing to the saints there at Rome, tells us that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. And friends, if I understand the context of what Paul is stating here in Romans chapter 14, he's speaking about the judgment day when every one of us will appear before God and we will bow before God. And to confess that indeed there is a God in heaven. And sadly, it will be too late for for many who were agnostics who questioned the existence of God, or for atheists who deny out and out the existence of God, they will not have an opportunity to become believers, that is, obedient believers. Oh, they'll be believers all right, but not obedient believers. These souls will be eternally lost. And you and I, as believers, as followers of God, as those who have put Christ on in baptism and seek to continue to serve God, we should not live in fear of the day of judgment. Amen? We should not live with any anxiety about the day of judgment. Why? Because as long as we are striving each day to walk in the light as He is in the light, the blood of Christ continues to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and therefore we will stand aright before God and give an account of our good and evil deeds. Well, we should not bother us. Why? Because we know that in our faithfulness before God is that God will look to us through the blood of our Lord and Savior in that great and wonderful day. Have you ever wondered why God has not sent Jesus into the world? I've heard some old-timers say that if God continues to tarry, if He continues to allow this world to stand still or to stand where it is that He'll have to go back and to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. Friends, God does not owe Sodom and Gomorrah any apology. They were deserving of what it is that they received. But yet at the same time, I do understand what those people are saying is that the world just continues to move away from God and to get worse and worse. And I've seen that over the course of my life, and I'm only 49 years old. But in this, from time to time, I will say that even in the times past, I've wondered, why does the Lord allow time to continue on? And friends, the reason for that is because of the long-suffering of God. God is long-suffering. The word long-suffering in the Greek language is makrothromia. And microthromia is actually a compound word made up of two words. And micro meaning suffering or long suffering, and thromia actually refers to temper. And what is under consideration here is that God is very long patience. God is very long before you will see His temper come out. And the Old Testament Scripture helps us to understand this and identifying is that God suffered long with the people of old, and still today God suffers long with you and me. Why is that? According to what Peter shares with us in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, he says that the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, but is long-suffering toward us. Why, Lord? Not willing that any would perish, but rather that all would come unto repentance. You see, God loves every one of us, and God wants every soul to be saved. And for that reason, God suffers long. God is very patient with us. He's wanting every soul who will come to believe, who will come to obedience, to do that before the day of judgment, before it will be eternally too late. And you know, it's interesting, though, as we look to the religious world, there are so many schools of thoughts out there. Some believe that God is actually waiting on us to mess up. And friends, God's not at all like that. God does not want us to mess up. He's given us His law so that we can know exactly what His rules are. He's given us His Word so that we can understand what His commandments are for us. And therefore, He's not waiting on us to mess up on those, but rather He's long-suffering, patient with us, hoping that we will read and study His Word and that we will apply His standards to our life. And by all means, by the life in which we live here, as well as some of the circumstances that fall upon us, God is also punishing us from time to time. He's disciplining us, hoping that we will come about, that we will line our lives according to His will, so that in the day of judgment we will be found as one of His faithful children. But you know also in the religious world, the majority believe that God accepts everyone. They believe that you can just live your life however you want to live and that you're going to be okay with God. In the religious world also, they believe that it doesn't matter what type of plan of salvation you preach and teach, that as long as you embrace one is just as good as another. And in fact, they will go on to say that you can choose the church of your choice. And friends, Today I tell you that we need to make sure that we obey the plan that God gives in Scripture and that we attend the church of the Lord's choice. And that is the church that Jesus Christ died for. Why? Think about the Jews. Not all the Jews were saved in the first century. And certainly those who would call themselves Jews today, they're not saved. Why? Because they do not abide by the law of God. In fact, the Apostle Paul understood that those who were once the chosen people of God, Israel, is that they were lost in his day. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 1, he says, "My heart's desire is for Israel that they might be saved." They weren't saved then, and Paul says that they might come into obedience. So they were lost, and therefore God doesn't save everyone. But friends, also, when it comes to those in modern religions, God identifies to you and me as that these individuals, even though that they may think that they're right, in reality, they are condemned before God. Jesus taught this in Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through verse 29. He says, "Many in that day will come unto me and say, Lord, 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 Lord," as if they know Him. "Have we not done all of these wonderful things?" And Jesus said, "I will say unto them, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you." And the people were impressed by what it is that Christ had to say. Why? Verse 29 of Matthew chapter 7 says that He taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes. Jesus is the authority on all of these things. And Jesus says that it doesn't matter what the majority of the religious world believes and teaches, it's what He says that really and truly matters. So therefore, we need to do what God says to do in order for us to be right with Him. Others feel that God is too confusing, that we cannot know Him. And I will admit, years ago, whenever I was very young in my faith, I didn't really read and study the Scripture very much. I would pick it up and I would say, it's very hard to understand. And yet at the same time, I had a mother who suffered long with me, who was very patient, who sat with me and taught me the Scriptures as well as my siblings, and encouraged me to read and to study the Bible more and more. And the more that she read and studied with us, and the more then that I read and studied on my own, I was able to understand the Word of God as it is, from a contextual as well as from an applicable standpoint in my life and in our lives. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 33, says that the Lord is not the author of confusion. But rather, as Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, that if we study, if we're diligent to show ourselves approved unto God, then we will indeed be able to rightly divide the word of truth. It's not that God is confusing, it's that if we don't understand it, it means that we're not spending enough time in the Word, or spending enough time studying the Word with others who do have a proper understanding of it. And we always stand willing and ready to study with whoever would like to have our assistance. You see, biblically, God is love, yet at the same time, God will punish evildoers. God will punish those who live in sin. And I would love just to be able to talk about the love of God. But yet at the same time, we would do an injustice to the Scripture if we did not also talk about the wrath of God, the punishment that awaits those who live or those who abide in sin. God is love, and friends, you and I know the love of God because He sent His only begotten Son into the world. And He demonstrated that love by allowing His only begotten Son, His unique Son, to die for you and me at Calvary's cross. And every single day, though, not only through the shedding of His Son's blood at the cross, every single day we see the love of God. What a beautiful day it is today, right? Here in Warren County, we were blessed with a little rain came over last night. I posted on Facebook as the storm was coming in. The lightning was lightning and the thunder was thundering or rolling. I love a good rain or a good thunderstorm, especially whenever it brings forth rain. God brought rain upon us, and is that not also a sign of the love that God has upon us? He takes care of us every single day. But friends, also, this morning I want us to understand that if we live in sin, if we live like the world lives, separated, alienated from our God, someday we will face the wrath of God. in judgment and to be eternally condemned before Him. Yet at the same time, God suffers long with us. God is very patient toward us. Where do we see that? Go to the Old Testament Scripture. Think about in the days of Noah. The Bible identifies that God was beside Himself with mankind. He created man after His own image, but all the thoughts of man had become evil. And yet at the same time, there was one individual who stood out amongst others. And who was that? It was Noah. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 8 that Noah found grace in the sight of God. And Noah was commanded by God to build an ark. And he was busy about building an ark. And his sons were involved in this great task along with him. And what is it that Noah did during the time in which the ark was being prepared? Noah preached unto the people for some 100 years, maybe a little longer. And why did God allow for that time span to go on? Friends, I contend that it was because of the long-suffering of God. The long-suffering of God, Peter says, waited in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared. You see, God suffered long, very patient with the people in the days of Noah, not wanting them to perish. But we know that 8 souls, that is Noah and his wife and their 3 sons and their wives, were able to enter into the ark, and then everyone else perished as a result of, finally, God's patience running out. But you know also, I think about the patience of God, the long-suffering of God. I consider Sodom and Gomorrah. The people of Sodom and Gomorrah, and the majority of that is, they were caught up in homosexual lifestyle. And God very clearly condemns the practice of such. Why? Because God created a male and female. It is a man and a woman, a husband and a wife. Those who are in this marriage union as a husband and wife that are authorized to come together sexually, and outside of that, even with a man and a woman, if they're not scripturally married, then they cannot come together. And certainly also, though, factored into that would be a male and a male and a female and a female. Those relationships are condemned by God. But isn't it interesting, though, that as we read from the context of Genesis chapter 18, verses 16 through 19, and even through chapter 19 of Genesis, we read concerning the long-suffering of God. And in that context, I believe that part of that has to do with Lot and his family. But God was long-suffering with those people, even though they were living a life that was an abomination before God. And that word abomination literally means that it made God sick. Even though these individuals made God sick at His stomach, He suffered long with them, not willing that any would perish. I'm reminded of what we find in Exodus chapter 34 and verse 6, that God said to Moses, "And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, 'The Lord God, merciful, gracious, long-suffering, and abounding in goodness and in truth.'" God says, here's who I am, Moses. Moses, I am by all means the Holy One. I am eternal in my existence. God wanted Moses and his generation to understand that God is merciful. He was willing to give them what they did not deserve. They were deserving of death. We're also subsequently deserving of death. But God's mercy is getting what you do not deserve. And God says, not only am I willing to give you what you don't deserve, my loving kindness, but He says, I'm going to be long-suffering. I'm going to be very patient with you in hopes that you will embrace who I am and what it is that I am seeking to extend unto you. Friends, I think about the children of Israel during the time in which God led them out, and the reminders that God lays upon them of His long-suffering with them. In Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse 17, we read, "They refused to obey, and they were not mindful of Your wonders." He's speaking about Israel and where they were with God. "They refused to obey. They were not mindful of Your wonders that You did among them, and they hardened their necks and their rebellion. They appointed a leader to return to their bondage. Note what he says. But you are God, ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger. It took a lot, did it not, to get God aroused? It took a lot to bring out the wrath and the judgment of God upon Israel. He constantly was there for them, sending them messenger after messenger, begging and pleading with them, warning them time and time again, turn and come back unto me. Repent and walk according to my will, according to my standards, and according to my stature. And friends, these examples serve as a beautiful picture for you and me today concerning the long-suffering of God. You see, God is amazing, is He not? God is filled with goodness, kindness. And when we think about the kindness and the goodness of God, what is it all about? Friends, the Bible identifies to us in Romans chapter 2 and verse 4 is that the goodness of God is there to bring forth repentance upon our lives. As we look to the goodness of God, ultimately we would point to the cross. When Jesus died, that by itself is certainly the ultimate of God's demonstration of His goodness toward us. But also as we would look to the goodness of God, the rain that we've received, the sunshine, the oxygen that He provides through His creation, everything that we have for the sustaining of life identifies the goodness of our God. And based out of what we see then, God says, I want you to believe in me. And I want you to love me. And I want you to understand that all the good that you have, James chapter 1 verse 17, comes from me, and therefore, change your life to fit the pattern that I prescribe or command because of my goodness, because of who I am and what I'm all about. You see, we see, do we not, the long-suffering of God illustrated through the Apostle Paul? How do we first come to know Him? Saul of Tarsus, correct? What kind of picture does God first give us of Him? Good guy, bad guy? Bad guy, by all means. He persecuted the church. He was responsible, was he not, for dragging Christians out into the street, hauling them off to prison. And he felt like what he was doing was what God wanted him to do. He did all of those things, the Scripture tells us, with a clear conscience. But Paul knew that God was patient with him. As God appeared through Christ before him on the road to Damascus and gave him opportunity to be led into Damascus where Ananias taught him. And I would trust that Ananias taught him long even. He was patient with him. And whenever he questioned what it was that God commanded him to do, we reread of this in Acts chapter 22 and verse 16, where Ananias said, Saul, Saul, why do you tarry, but arise and be baptized, calling on the name of the Lord. Don't wait any longer, Paul. God has suffered long with you, long enough. God has been patient toward you up until this very moment. Paul obeyed the gospel, is what Ananias was saying to him. And of course, you and I know as we read from the Scripture, Acts chapter 9 and verse 18, is that he put Christ on in baptism. You see, God's patience with us is there to encourage change in our lives. He wants us to become different than the world. He wants us to live a life that is consecrated, a life that is separated from the world. We live in the world, but we don't live like the world. And He wants us to identify with Christ, to really not only say that we're Christian, but rather to be Christ-like in all of who we are. The forbearance of God is due because of His love. God loves us and He doesn't want us to go by the wayside. He doesn't want us to spend eternity in hell, but rather, friends, God suffers long with us. God is patient toward us. As Peter says it, not willing that any would perish, but that all would come unto repentance. As we close this morning, I've got some thoughts that I want us to consider. You see, the long-suffering of God is not endless tolerance. His patience wore out, did it not, with Israel? We looked at that a few minutes ago. The northern kingdom fell to Assyria. And Assyria punished them greatly. Killed, murdered many of the Jews. Oh, it wasn't only the northern kingdom. Even the southern kingdom, Judah, fell to Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonian Empire. And they also suffered greatly because of the fact that God had patiently waited on them, had warned them time and time again to come and to repent and to follow according to His commandments, but they did not. And therefore the patience and the long-suffering of God ended in the fact that He allowed Nebuchadnezzar and Babylon to come in and to take them back to serve as slaves in the Babylonian Empire for some 70 years. And friends, the Bible identifies to you and me is that God's patience will wear out someday. We don't know when, but at the same time it will end. And it doesn't necessarily have to be when Christ comes that we would mark that. His patience with us ends whenever our life here ends. He gives us a life, an opportunity throughout life, to get our lives in line with Him. And that's the patience of God and the love of God. But God tells us that that will end at some point in time. But then also, long-suffering is not a sign of acceptance. Some people say, well, you know, I've been able to do whatever I wanted to do up until this very time. I live like the world, and look, I'm still living like you're still living. Or, I belong to a denomination. We worship God however we want to worship, and we don't have any consequences. And they point to passages such as Leviticus chapter 10, where that God consumed Nadab and Abihu in a flame for offering strange fire. And they say, you see, God destroyed those two men because He was not pleased or accepted with them. And yet at the same time, you say that the Bible says that what we're doing is not acceptable to God, and still we're going on. And friends, simply because you're still alive today and getting away with whatever it is that you feel like you're getting away with is not a sign of an acceptance of God. The acceptance of God is defined in Scripture. And that's where we need to see whether or not God is pleased with us, is does our life and does our worship line up with God? If not, then long-suffering is not going to fix that. But friends, also, the long-suffering is not a license to live sinfully. And so many people think that they can just live, as I said a minute ago, however they want to. But the Bible very clearly says to us in Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through verse 5, He says, some in the days of Paul at Rome would say, what shall we say then? Can we continue in sin that grace may abound? Here's the way Paul begins by answering that. How can he who died to sin live any longer therein? You can't claim to be dead to sin in Christ and continue to live in sin. It doesn't make sense. Not from a logical standpoint, to me it doesn't, but also from a biblical standpoint. It doesn't line up. God's not going to embrace you if you do not embrace Him and walk away from sin. Well, when do we become dead to sin? If you read on in verses 3 through verse 7, friends, that's whenever we are baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin. We bury the old man of sin, and then we are raised a new creation or creature to walk in newness of life. That's putting the old man behind and becoming that new person, that new babe or child, and later a mature saint that God requires us to become. But you know also, I heard an argument here a while back that some said that because God tarries, because Christ does not come, is that it is a sign of weakness or a suggestion of weakness on God's part. Friends, God is not weak at all. Amen? We're looking at God who is mighty. God who is able to do anything that God wants to do whenever God chooses to do it. So it's not a sign or a signification of weakness on God's part. But rather, I go back to the fact that it is a sign of the love of God. He loves us so much that He waits on those souls who will embrace Him and live their life faithful before Him. The long-suffering of God. Is it not amazing as we consider it from a biblical standpoint? And also as we would think of it in our own personal life, God loves us and He waits on us because He wants us to be saved. But friends, also, today we need to understand that His patience will wear out. Today, are you saved? Have you confessed Christ to be the Son of the living God? Have you submitted yourself to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin? If not, God is patient with you today, giving you another opportunity that you might become His child. It may be that we have an erring member here, or members who have erred, who have walked away from God. God is patient with you also unto this day, hoping and praying that you will turn your life around. So today, if you're erring, if you're a brother or sister who are lost, we stand willing and ready to pray with you that you might be restored. Please come as